Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Well, economic transformation remains the rallying cry before the government elections, and there's a real palpable sense of frustration at the slow pace of translating political gains into meaningful economic gains. But the very real conundrum is that these calls are coming when the economy is stagnant, in fact going backwards in many respects. How do we bring more black businesses into the mainstream if we're struggling to grow and create new meaningful opportunities? And the slowdown has coincided with the revised codes of good practice for broad-based black economic empowerment, which were published a few years ago, and it saw enterprise and supply development get a serious upgrade in terms of points awarded to 40 points. And we're going to discuss some of the key issues that colour this debate and the challenges, because at its heart, enterprise and supply development is about leveraging procurement spend to promote skills and job creation and meaningful participation. But how do we get purchasing managers and buyers to understand the strategic rationale to diversify their supply chain? So tonight I've invited our panel to discuss what business can do in order to effectively assist these companies and the economy as a whole to ensure that we provide skills transfer and we help to achieve a sustainability in terms of the small business environment in South Africa. So with that, I'd like to welcome Mashinga Seyoba-Kombo, who is head of Pick n Pay's Enterprise and Supply Development Program. Mashinga, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
Also on the line, I've got Teboho Kass, who's president of the SA SMME Forum. And I don't know if you're still chairman of the Massmart Walmart Supply Development Fund, Teboho, but it's a great pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Michael. Just for the quick update, the Massmart Supply Development Advisory Board just concluded its five-year mandate in February this year. Last year.
Ah, I suspected as much. And we've also got well-known economist Davi Ruert of the Efficient Group on the line. Davi, it's been a while. I hope you're well.
I am indeed. Good evening to you, Michael. Thank you.
Now, Davi, perhaps you could kick us off here, because as I mentioned in my introduction, one of the main aims of ESD is to provide historically disadvantaged suppliers equal access to opportunities. And I think we all agree that the business case for a company to have a quality ESD program is compelling beyond the moral imperative. If you diversify your sources of supply, you just build resilience into your procurement. But how do we reconcile this with the low growth that we're experiencing in the country and the fact that opportunities really are hard to come by on the back of a low growth economy growing at around 1%?
Michael, you just made the assumption that for some reason it's not very profitable to develop different suppliers and to make use of different suppliers and to diversify your suppliers, and not only your suppliers, your client base for that matter. And that should not be the case. It should make absolute business sense. Of course, it should make some other sense as well, but it should make absolute business sense to make sure that you have a diversity of suppliers that are part of your own value add chain, so to speak. But what's the best way to start this, to create wealth in the end? And that is to get this economy to grow. And I'm afraid where we are at the moment, it is extremely difficult for a small business to start a small business, and it doesn't matter who you are. It's difficult because we simply do not have electricity. It's very difficult because of all the red tape. It's very difficult for all sort of reasons. So I guess the best place to start certainly is to see what is hindering this economy from economic growth, because that is the only sustainable way through which we can create smaller businesses that hopefully will eventually grow into medium-sized and large businesses as well. And I'm afraid the current trajectory, the broad policy, the set of policies that we have from government at the moment, certainly not conducive to economic growth, and certainly, and most definitely, not for smaller business.
Mm, that is unfortunate, and I would just like to introduce as well Gladys Moaneke, who's the founder of Breva, a range of non-alcoholic beverages, and a supplier to Pick n Pay. Gladys, I almost forgot you because you're sitting down in our Fine Music Radio studios. I must apologize for that. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Michael.
And now, talk to me from the perspective of a small business that has managed to get into a big retailer's supply chain. What are some of the challenges that we need to get right in order for enterprise and supply development not just to become another buzzword and a nice to have, but something that actually meaningfully makes an impact the way the spirit of the legislation has intended it to?
Michael, I think there is one thing that needs to happen, and that is commitment. And that is commitment by corporates that have ESD programs, but also commitment by government, SOEs, and even the general public or other corporates that do not have ESD. And let me unpack that briefly. When I talk about commitment, I'm talking about a corporate that decide as part of their strategy to have ESD must have a deep understanding what it means to support small businesses. And so they must unpack what it is that they're trying to achieve and then execute it properly. And I say that because often the board will endorse ESD, which is well and fine, but the same board will set targets and required set margins to be met by departments and by buyers that do not discriminate between big businesses and small businesses. And so often you find when small businesses are not able to meet those targets or those margins, then they are removed from the ESD programs on the basis that they're not performing, whereas their expected performance is the same as that of the big businesses. And the other thing as well is you find that a board might have commitment to ESD, but that is not filtered down to the lower levels of the organization. So often it then becomes just talk with no serious commitment. And the second thing as well, when I talk about commitment from government, it's all and well to have legislation. But even in the way that government does the things, it must reflect an understanding of the support of small businesses. And one of the big issues that small businesses face is really finding market. And government is a market that can be made available for small businesses, but if government itself does not support small businesses from a procurement point of view, then it's just talk. I mean, and to give you an example, just go into a government organization or an SOE and look at the product that they are consuming. How many of those are coming from small suppliers? Very little to nothing.
And unfortunately,
so it has to be very, very practical. And unfortunately, I mean, Pick and Pay, in my view, has managed to have that commitment from the board that has filtered down to the rest of the organization and understanding of what it means to have ESD and how to support it.
And unfortunately, when one does transact with government, then just to get them to pay within 30 days can be a whole other conversation. And Mshinga, how does Pick and Pay approach the balancing act of enterprise and supplier development, where there are trade-offs to be made, where if you're going to support a smaller supplier, they might not come in at the best price initially, but you know that over time, you're going to be able to help this business compete on all metrics with very much larger, more established suppliers?
I think that's a great question. And I think one of the things that we are doing, meeting the entrepreneur or the business where they are. Now, what does that mean? And it's really providing the tools, the training, as well as the resources that they need to basically play in the big in the big world of the big brands. I just wanted to pick up on a point quickly before I answer your question that Gladys talked about. And one of the things that I'm very passionate about is really looking at changing legislation. There are three acts, aside from the broad Black Based Economic Act, the Consumer Protection Act as well, and the Small Business Act. And I'd really like to hold hands with government as well as the legislation to say, let us look at the current legislation around small businesses in this country. And let us remove the red tape. There are fantastic examples in Rwanda, for example, where they have a one-stop shop for small businesses on compliance. And I think those are models that we can borrow to really help small business. But to come to your question, one of the things that we do, I'm very proud of our enterprise and supplier development program, is to pay our suppliers who have the relevant food safety certification and have met all our requirements early. Some of our suppliers are paid within 7 days, others are paid within 14 days. Obviously, they have minimum requirements that they have to fulfill. Another thing that we're also doing is really discounting what I call services. And we talk to, there's a cross-functional team. So for example, when we're doing marketing and the buyer requires the SME to come up with a marketing plan, we're constantly challenging the business and saying, if for example, it costs the SME 30,000 Rand to come up with a proper plan that we put into stores, can we discount that? can we charge the SME 5,000 rand? And in there, we work with our procurement team, and we say, what is the SME currently purchasing to us? So if the SME is servicing us, we then look and say, now what can that SME avoid? Now, that can take, it's a process that requires us to offset and discount invoices and costs. Mm. But we feel that that is a way to really empower SMEs. Because once they're in a retailer like Pick and Pay, for example, it's really about partnering with them in order to scale and make them grow.
But and it shows a commitment, and that commitment that I think Gladys was speaking to, that filters down from the board, but then is understood by the chief procurement officer and all the line functions underneath that, which perhaps is where the disconnect happens in many ENSD programs, is there's a failure to connect the strategic imperative with the practice of making that purchasing decision on the ground. Tebogo, from your perspective, and having worked with the Walmart Massmart Enterprise and Supplier Development Fund, what are some of the big challenges that still exist here? And we know there are lots of them. The fact is, small black-owned suppliers find it difficult for a number of reasons. They've got a lack of track record, so they've got to develop that. They've got to develop trust. But what, from your perspective, is the biggest barrier?
I think Gladys somewhat captured the essence of what I believe is essential in terms of the strategy, the corporate strategy on enterprise supplier development, and as what actually is expected of those to implement such a strategy. Sometimes you find that there's a contradiction between the two. And also, I just wanted to add quickly that enterprise supplier development and economic growth are not mutually exclusive. So you cannot hold on and say, look, we will have to put enterprise supply development in abeyance until such time that we can realize some growth to be able to invite the small suppliers into the supply chain. And that is, I think, it's a bit misplaced. But more importantly, we tend to invite small suppliers in ephemeral areas of the business. And without really partnering with them as potential suppliers of key aspects within the value chain of any business. And I think I like the idea that most corporates would look at enterprise development as part of their overall growth strategy. So in other words, their growth and the assimilation of small businesses into the supply chain becomes part of the deliverables throughout the entire corporate structure. And I think I'm also happy that enterprise development has been given a better prominence in the BEE scorecards, because that is something that if we had paid attention to, or government had paid attention to earlier on when BEE legislation was introduced 10, 15 years ago, we could have achieved a little bit more, because enterprise development is the lifeblood of any business.
And Tebogo, you spoke to Darvi's point there about how we can ensure that we do this as a profit driver and not just wait for the economy to grow. Darvi, that said, though, and one has to look at the big challenge here being some of the softer skills. Relationships are a key example of a constraint here. If you want to buy from someone new, you've got to establish a new relationship, or you have to perhaps stop buying from someone with whom you already have a relationship, or at least cut down. And building those relationships takes time. It's not always the right thing to do to break some of these relationships. So how do we do this without souring existing relationships?
Michael, I've been listening to your other guests, and we have to be very careful not to romanticize small businesses too much. Let's just stand back for a moment and see what the real contribution of small businesses. And the reality is that small businesses, certainly they have a place in any economy, and they're certainly contributing to the economy, but small businesses are really small businesses. And if big corporates nurture a small business hoping it's going to become a significant business over time, quite often that is just a waste of time, because many of these small businesses don't make it. I think the majority of them simply do not make it. Furthermore, if you look at the small, as far as I'm concerned, a small business is valuable because, of course, you create a lot of jobs in that, but the small business should eventually move into two spaces. The one is that you have to become a super specialist of some sort, or you have to grow your business into a medium-sized business and eventually a big business. Small businesses don't pay taxes, as an example, or hardly taxes.
No, I disagree. Sorry, sir. I can give you
the numbers. Go and look on the website and find it. 250 companies in South Africa pay 80% of company taxes, as an example.
Amazon paid zero taxes last year.
Who paid zero taxes?
Amazon.
Well, Amazon is not in South Africa as far as I know.
No, I'm just giving you. You just said small business. You didn't say small business in South Africa. I'm giving an example that most big companies in South Africa, tax
80% of taxes are paid by big businesses. So don't over romanticize small businesses. Of course, there's a space, but let's do it in the right way. And the right manner of doing this is to always put wealth creation up front. And wealth creation is always our first objective. And only through wealth creation and economic growth will we be able to grow all businesses, including smaller businesses as well. And and quite often what happens, if you close one door, if you say, listen, I'm not going to do business with a certain company anymore because they don't fulfill the requirements set by law, as an example, and move to another company, quite often that new company or the new small business simply goes under. It is extremely difficult for medium-sized businesses as well.
But in the interruption, if I may, given the fact that I'm sure we've got limited time, but yeah. I cannot let Davi go unchallenged. It appears to me that Davi, you're a proponent of trickle-down economics and by extension trickle-down BEE,
no.
And which is wrong,
no.
Because you cannot expect a small business to just be left on the periphery of the mainstream economy and hope that something will trickle down their way, and therefore over time then they will improve to the extent that they can be relied upon by big
businesses. I know so many business people that started businesses as small businesses and they made it by themselves through very hard work. And they did not need the government to support them.
Okay, on that point, chaps, just as we round off, measuring success, and I think it's important to finish on this point. Peter Drucker famously said what can be measured can be managed. And after all, this is about measuring progress and effectiveness. Mshinga, how do you inside Pick and Pay measure success? Do you say, I want X number of small suppliers in my supply chain contributing a percentage of my total product in store by a certain date? How do you measure your success?
I think that's an important question, Michael. One of the things that we have created is an SME rate card. And what we do is we classify or break down our SMEs in our program into four categories. If I may quickly just mention, it's category one, obviously. They're called baby, toddler, teen. Some of our listeners will chuckle to that. But the whole point is that at each stage of the progress of the SME, as they enter into the retail chain, there are different phases and they need different things. The way we measure their success, Michael, is to look at their performance. We look at the hard metrics, and I think Davi is very important in terms of the success rates. We look at their turnover with us. But one of the most important things, Davi, is we look at why businesses fail. And a lot of our program is not top-down. So it's not us thinking, what do we want an SME or what does the SME need? We have what's called specialized focus groups. So, for example, Gladys, who is in studio with you, founder and owner of Breva, we will go to her and we will ask her the hard questions. Gladys, what are you struggling with at the moment in dealing with Pick and Pay? And a lot of that is designed around making sure that we respond to that. But
Mshinga, I've got to stop you there because we have run out of time, unfortunately. But quite clearly, it's a topic that everyone is very passionate about, ensuring that we have a higher success rate of those small businesses that Davi did mention do struggle to migrate and become medium-sized businesses, to better understand that as well. Mshinga Seboya, Combo, head of Pick and Pay's Enterprise and Supply Development Program, Gladys Moaneke, the founder of Breva, Tabokro Kass, president of the SA SME Forum and Efficient Group economist, Davi Root. Thanks so much for tuning in to the show tonight as well.